वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 15. Chapter 15 is entitled The Pandavas Retire Finally. And today we are reading text 16. Yaddoshuma pranihitam guru bhishma karna Yaddoshuma pranihitam guru bhishma karna न प्रीतृगर्तशाल्या सैन्धव बालिकाद्यै न प्रीतृगर्तशाल्या सैन्धव बालिकाद्यै अस्त्राणि अमोघमहिमानि निरूपितानि अस्त्राणि अमोघमहिमानि निरूपितानि नोपस्त्रिशूर्निर्हरिदासम् इव सुराणि नोपस्त्रिशूर्निर्हरिदासम् इव सुराणि यद्दोषु मा प्रणीतं गुरु भीष्म कर्णा न प्रीतृगर्तशाल्य सैन्धव बालिकाद्यै अस्त्राणि अमोघमहिमानि निरूपितानि नोपस्पृशूर्नर्हरिदासम् इवासुराणि यद्दोषु मा प्रणिहितं गुरु भीष्म कर्णा न प्रीतृगर्तशाल्य सैन्धव बालिकाद्यै अस्त्राणि अमोघमहिमानि निरूपितानि नोपस्पृशूर्नर्हरिदासम् इवासुराणि मा प्रणीतम् Myself being situated. Guru. Dronacharya. Bhishma. Karna. Karna. Naptrir. Bhurishrava. Trigartha. King Shusharma. Shalya. Saindava. King Jayadrata. Bahalika. Brother of Maharaj Shantanu, Bhishma's father. Adye, etc. Astrani, weapons, Amogha, invincible, Mahimani, very powerful, Nirupitani, applied, na, not, Upasprishu, touched, Narhari Dasam, servitor of Narsimhadev Prahlad. Eva, like, Asurani, weapons employed by the demons. Translation by His Divine Grace Prabhupada. Great generals like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Bhurishrava, Susharma, Shalya, Jayadratha and Bahalika all directed their invincible weapons against me. But by His, Lord Krishna's grace, they could not even touch a hair on my head. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, the supreme devotee of Lord Narasimhadev, was unaffected by the weapons the demons used against him. Translation once again. Great generals like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Bhurishrava, Susharma, Shalya, Jayadratha and Bahalika all directed their invincible weapons against me. But by Lord Krishna's grace, they could not even touch a hair on my head. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, the supreme devotee of Lord Narasimhadev, was unaffected by the weapons the demons used against him. The purport is very long, so we'll just read one paragraph of the purport. The history of Prahlad Maharaj, the great devotee of Narasimhadev, is narrated in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj, a small child of only 5 years, became the object of envy for his great father, Hiranyakashipu, only because of his becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. The demon father employed all his weapons to kill the devotee son Prahlad, but by the grace of the Lord, he was saved from all sorts of dangerous actions by his father. He was thrown in a fire, in boiling oil, from the top of a hill, underneath the legs of an elephant, and he was administered poison. At last the father took himself took up a chopper to kill his son, and thus Narasimhadev appeared and killed the heinous father in the presence of the son. Thus no one can kill the devotee of the Lord. Similarly, Arjuna was also saved by the Lord, although all dangerous weapons were employed by his great opponents like Bhishma. And after that, in the purport, Prabhupada is describing various characters which have been mentioned in the translation, like Karna, Jayadrata, etc. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are seeing that this is a very important series of verses going on in the Bhagavatam right now. In these series of verses, actually Arjuna is remembering the Lord, and he is having a conversation with his elder brother Yudhishthir Maharaj, in which he is narrating all the pastimes which the Lord enacted with all the Pandavas. And in remembering these pastimes, he is actually doing smaranam of the Lord, that how the Lord protected his devotees in so many difficult circumstances. And we know from the Mahabharata and even from the initial chapters of the first canto of Bhagavatam that for every danger that the Pandavas faced, they used to just surrender to the Lord, and the Lord was always there to protect them. Either the Lord used to protect them directly, or the Lord used to empower them, or the Lord somehow used to make some arrangement such that no harm would come to the Pandavas. So with a very grateful heart, Arjuna is actually remembering all these pastimes. And he is remembering the protective nature of the Lord. So this quality is actually very important for practicing devotees like us. This quality of gratitude. Being grateful to the Lord for his mercy. Like the Lord's mercy comes in our life in so many ways. The fact that we are all sitting here together discussing the Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but the Lord's mercy on us. And also remembering the mercy the devotees of the Lord have shown on us. So all of us have had experiences of how, you know, a devotee of the Lord intervened in our life, and he or she somehow gave us the holy name, or gave us a book, or gave us some prasadam. And in that way, that devotee of the Lord actually brought us into Krishna consciousness. So this attitude of gratitude is extremely important in Krishna consciousness or in devotional life. And it is mentioned that only a grateful heart can actually be a Krishna conscious heart. Otherwise it is very difficult to be Krishna conscious if we don't have gratitude for the Lord and for his devotees, for all the mercy and for all the benedictions that have come our way. And we are saying actually Arjuna is showing that he is leading by example, by remembering or by being in smaranam of the Lord and actually very gratefully remembering how the Lord used to in various instances interact and reciprocate with the Pandavas. So in these verses he is specifically remembering this protective nature of the Lord. And he is also saying that through various circumstances, through various thick and thin circumstances, the Lord was always present in the Pandavas' life. And the Lord always empowered Arjuna. Either the Lord came directly, like there are so many instances in which the Lord came directly. When Ashwatthama had fired the Brahmastra to kill all the Pandavas, the Lord personally took Arjuna. So that whenever the Lord was present, he directly intervened to protect the Pandavas. And when he was not present, he empowered Arjuna to protect him. And in our lives also we see that the Lord is actually protecting us when we cry out to the Lord, in full surrender, when we cry out to the Lord, when we are in a difficult situation. The Lord is protecting us, but the Lord sometimes sends his representatives to protect us. But we don't realize it. And we always think, oh, the Lord didn't protect, the Lord didn't protect. Sometimes in our conditioned state we may think like that. And there is a very nice story of a person who was actually walking down, he had to cross from his village to the other village for some trade, and he was walking along a steep cliff, and suddenly his leg slipped and he fell down. And he used to take that road every day, he had been doing that for years. So suddenly today his leg slipped, it had never happened before, and he fell down. But thankfully while falling down, he caught hold of a tree, and then he was hanging from the tree for his dear life. And he cried out, he was a theist and he was a strong believer in the Lord. So he cried out to the Lord, oh Lord, please come and help me, oh Lord, please come and help me. And after some time, there was a man who was passing by that way and he saw that this man is hanging down. So he immediately sent down a rope and he said, here, you hold this rope and come up. And the man said, no, I'm waiting for the Lord to come and help me. So he did not accept the help which this man gave him by sending down the rope. Then again he kept hanging and he kept crying, oh Lord, please come and help me, oh Lord, please come and help me. So again one more person was passing down by that way. And he reached down and he gave his hand. He said, here, take my hand and come up, I'll help you to come out of this precarious condition that you are in. And he didn't accept the hand of that man. He said, no, I'm waiting for the Lord to come. The Lord has declared that he always protects his devotees when they cry out in full surrender. So I'm crying to the Lord and I'm sure he will come. And then he kept hanging, and then ultimately his arm gave way because he was getting tired of hanging. And then he fell down to his death and he died. And then he met the Lord after his death when he went to the heavenly palace or to the spiritual abode. He met the Lord and he questioned the Lord. He said that, what happened? I was crying for you, but you did not come, my Lord. You have promised in the Bhagavad Gita that you always come and you protect your devotees. And the Lord said that, my dear man, I came in the form of those two men whom I sent to protect you. But you did not accept my help. You somehow thought that it was not me who was sending that help, but it was actually I who had come to help you. You did not recognize that help and you somehow had to die because you did not accept that help. So we see that sometimes, you know, when we are in dire circumstances or when we are feeling low about, you know, some anarthas are there in our life and we are praying to the Lord that please help me, and when we see some hope in the form of some devotee speaking to us or we hear some devotee narrating something to us or giving us some advice, so sometimes our ego doesn't allow us to take that advice and we keep praying to the Lord, but when we are getting the advice or we are getting help from devotees, we don't accept it just because our ego comes in the way. But then we keep blaming the Lord that, you know, you are not there to help me out. I have so many anarthas. Why is the Lord not doing anything in my life? I'm such a nice devotee. So we do this sometimes. And when we see other devotees also in precarious condition, we sometimes question that, why did the Lord do this to that person? Why is there so much suffering in that devotee's life? Why is that person going through such tiring circumstances in his life? And now we know today His Holiness Jaipataka Maharaj is arriving. And many times when we see Jaipataka Maharaj after he had this stroke, we think that, oh, why did the Lord do this to him? Why did the Lord put him in such a precarious condition? He had dedicated his whole life to serving Prabhupada and to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Then why such a stroke had to come to him? Why not someone else? So, you know, these questions sometimes come in our mind and we actually, you know, may tend to think in a conditioned state that, oh, Maharaj is in such a pitiable condition. The Lord has somehow, you know, put him in this condition where his health is not coping and he has to take help from other devotees even for simple activities. But actually the person who is in pitiable condition is us. And I'm speaking about me in a conditioned state. Actually we are in the pitiable condition, not Maharaj. Because if you see when Krishna says that name bhaktya pranashyati, that my devotee never perishes, he has never promised that he protects the body of the devotee. He is promising that he is protecting the Krishna consciousness of the devotee. And Krishna never allows that to go away. And we see this in the example of Jaipataka Maharaj. Even though he is in such a, from health point of view, he is in such a precarious condition, but his Krishna consciousness has not got affected at all. He is extremely focused in his preaching and he is extremely focused in all his devotional activities. He has not allowed his health to hamper his devotional activities absolutely. And there was a nice article I was reading about him when we were in Mayapur. There was one of his disciples had narrated this pastime, and this was when Maharaj had just had a stroke and he had gone to Los Angeles for doing some therapies and for doing some treatment. And Maharaj's schedule was very rigorous. The doctors had given him a very rigorous schedule of therapies. So from morning till almost 6 in the evening, he used to be doing his therapies. And he was, because his right side had got completely paralyzed, he was not even able to hold his chanting beat. So this devotee writes that, you know, we may sometimes wonder, how is Maharaj chanting his rounds? We don't see a chanting beat with him. But he said that because of his health, Maharaj has discovered different ways to complete his chanting. Not only complete his prescribed rounds, but to chant throughout the day. So Maharaj has now started using a clicker. And whenever he is pedaling, like he has to do a lot of cycling for his improving his health. So it is said that with every pedal he will chant one Maha Mantra. Or whenever he is eating, somebody is feeding him, with every mouthful he will chant one Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And in any waking hour, he is always using his clicker and he somehow has devised methods to complete his rounds. And that disciple was mentioning that even when Maharaj, sometimes Maharaj is not able to sleep throughout the night. So suddenly he will wake up and he will immediately reach for his clicker and he will start chanting. So not even one bit he has allowed his health to affect him. And after these long therapies, like this long session from morning till almost 6 o'clock in the evening, he would come back to the temple, to his room, and there would usually be around 15-20 devotees who are waiting. And every evening Maharaj used to, after he had has his prasad, Maharaj would sit and give a class. So one of the evenings the devotees noticed, his disciples noticed, his servants who were serving him, they noticed that Maharaj was very drowsy. He was sleeping off even when the disciple was feeding Maharaj's prasad. And they thought that Maharaj is extremely tired from all the rigorous therapies he's going through. So maybe today we should not have these devotees sitting here to hear from Maharaj. Maybe we should allow Maharaj to take rest. And Maharaj had actually dozed off at that time. So they quietly told all the devotees who had assembled there that I don't think like every day today Maharaj will be able to give class. So maybe you all can go home, maybe tomorrow we'll see, depending on his health. So all the devotees immediately left from there because they are all concerned about Maharaj's health and they want him to take rest. And then when Maharaj suddenly awoke after some time and he asked, where are the devotees? He asked his servant. And the servant said that we send them home, Maharaj, because you looked very tired today and you were very sleepy. So we thought you should not get much more trouble. You should take rest for today evening. And the disciple mentions that Maharaj was extremely angry with them. He was so upset. He said that why did you send these devotees away? He said, do you all know I'm a sannyasi? And my only job is to preach Krishna consciousness. Do you think my life is just to do these exercises and to make my health better? Mm-hmm. He said, no, that is not the purpose of my life. That is not the goal, that, you know, my health just improves. The whole purpose of my existence is that somehow or the other, I am able to speak about Krishna. And he said, every day if I don't speak for 10 minutes about Krishna, minimum 10 minutes, my life is wasted. And he said, immediately now you go online and see if there are any devotees online. I will go online and give a class because you all send those devotees away. So immediately the devotees checked in into his website and there were some 15-20 devotees online and then Maharaj gave a class online. So this is the way Krishna has protected Maharaj's Krishna consciousness and it is all of us who are in a pitiable condition, for, you know, little health problems, we are not able to do our Krishna consciousness so in such a focused and fixed manner. But if we see Jaipataka Maharaj, then actually Jaipataka Maharaj is a living example of how he is not this body and he is a soul. He is an eternal servant of Lord Chaitanya. So we see from his life how Krishna protected his Krishna consciousness, and Krishna did not allow even for a moment after his stroke to his Krishna consciousness to suffer or his devotional practices to go away. And in the same way, Arjuna is also remembering in these series of verses how the Lord protected all the Pandavas. And Arjuna is saying that when the need was there, the Lord protected the Pandavas and he gave empowerment to Arjuna. For example, this whole battle of Kurukshetra, he is saying that all these great generals were there in the opposite side, but somehow the Lord empowered me to kill all those great generals who are actually much more powerful than me. And if the Lord wanted, Arjuna is also remembering this part of the Lord, that if the Lord needs, he can also take away that empowerment. And I think in the previous verse, it's coming in the next verses, Arjuna says that, but while protecting the queens of Dwarka, I was trying to bring them safely to another place, I was defeated by a group of infidel cowherd men. They were like highway bandits. And you know, this great wielder of the Gandiva bow, and I was not able to, my Gandiva bow was useless. I was not able to protect these queens of Dwarka. But Arjuna was unaware. Actually, there is a pastime, there is a Puranic story behind this. So once the Apsaras of the heavenly planets, they were serving Ashtavakra Muni very nicely. He was a great sage and all the Apsaras were serving him very nicely. So Ashtavakra Muni was very pleased with their service and he gave them a benediction. He said that all of y'all in your next life will get the Supreme Lord as your husband. So all of them were so happy, they were all so joyful and in bliss that, oh, we are going to marry the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Ashtavakra Muni got up to go away. And Ashtavakra Muni, his name is Ashtavakra because he was bent in eight places. So when he walked, he used to walk in a peculiar manner because he was bent in eight places. So when he started walking, all these Apsaras could not contain themselves and they started giggling. They started laughing at the Muni. And the Muni got extremely angry with these Apsaras. And he told them that because y'all have laughed at me, y'all will be kidnapped by some bandits. And y'all will be separated from your Lord. So I give y'all that curse that y'all will be kidnapped by some local, you know, infidel people y'all will be kidnapped by, although y'all have married the Supreme Lord. So again the Apsaras got so scared and they started crying and they begged Ashtavakra Muni and they again served him very nicely. And they told him, please don't keep this curse on us, please don't keep this curse on us. So then he said that I cannot take my curse back because I've already uttered it from my mouth. But okay, I will amend it that the Lord himself will come and kidnap y'all in the form of those highway bandits. He will come among those highway bandits and he will kidnap y'all. So actually the queens of Dwarka are pure devotees of the Lord and nobody can touch them. So it was when Arjuna was fighting with those infidel cowherd men in trying to protect these queens, it was actually the Lord who came among them and he took them away. Because he wanted to, he had already left and he wanted all his queens and his entire entourage to come back to the spiritual world. So somehow he had to take them back. And it was only the Lord who can touch them or who can take them back. So the Lord actually came to take these queens back to the spiritual world. But Arjuna was unaware of that. And therefore he was keeping on thinking that, you know, oh, I was powerless. The Lord took away my power. When he wanted, he empowered me to fight all these great generals like Karna and all these people. But when he desired so, he took my power away. And I could not even shoot arrows and protect these queens. And in the same way, like how Arjuna is so gratefully in Smaranam of the Lord and of his protective nature, in the 10th canto, we find Parikshit Maharaj also doing the same thing. Parikshit Maharaj is talking to Sukadeva Goswami and he is also very gratefully remembering that, you know, Sukadeva Goswami, it is this great Krishna who protected my grandfather from so many difficult situations in their life. And he is saying that they could only conquer all these great Maharathis. And Parikshit Maharaj also quotes all these names. He said Devavrata, Bhishma. He was the greatest warrior of his time. And nobody, he was invincible. Nobody could defeat that warrior. But somehow my grandfathers were able to defeat all these big warriors. And he compared them to the Timingala fish. Now it is mentioned that this Timingala fish is one of the greatest fish that used to exist. I think it's extinct now. But it was such a huge fish that it could devour sharks in one bite and huge whales in one bite. And Parikshit Maharaj is comparing all these great generals to these Timingala fish. And he is saying that they were like Timingala fish. But because my grandfathers were surrendered to the lotus feet and they had caught hold of the boat of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, he was able to safely make them cross this great ocean of the Kaurava army. That boat of lotus feet of Krishna helped them to cross over this ocean. So very gratefully he is remembering how the Lord intervened in his grandfather's, the Pandavas' life, and he protected them in every instance. And Parikshit Maharaj is also remembering one instance in his own life, and that happened in the few chapters ago, that he said that even when I was in the womb of my mother, Uttara, and there was a great Brahmastra which Drona's son Ashwatthama had sent to kill me, because he did not want any living hire left to the Pandava family. So he sent this great Brahmastra, and my mother took shelter of the Supreme Lord. And at that time, the Lord again showed his mercy on our family, and he immediately entered the womb, and he protected me from all sides. He was in a four-handed form, and he was yielding his club, and he completely protected me and covered me inside my mother's womb, and he did not allow me to be perished by this great Brahmastra which Ashwatthama had sent. So he was saying, and in that verse, Prabhupada also quotes the famous verse from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, from the prayers of Lord Brahma. He says, Samshrite ye pada pallava plavam, mahat padam punya yasho murare, bhavam vidhi yat vatsa padam param padam, padam padam yat vipadam natesham. So Parikshit Maharaj also says, when he is talking to Sukadeva Goswami, that my grandfathers were able to cross this huge ocean of the Kaurava army, because they had caught hold of the boat, and because the ocean became like the hoof, water contained in the hoof print of a calf. And similarly, Prabhupada says, Brahma is praying that those who have taken shelter and who are surrendered at your lotus feet, for them this whole material existence becomes like the water contained in the hoof print of a calf. Vatsa padam, vatsa means the calf. And then it is so easy for these devotees to cross over this ocean only because they are surrendered unto you. And the Pandavas were such devotees who were surrendered to the Lord, and they were able to cross these big, big oceans of the Kaurava army. So thus Krishna used to make all arrangements to protect the Pandavas. In every instance we see in the Pandavas' life, he used to make different arrangements. Now Prabhupada is mentioning about Karna in this verse, and he gives a long description about Karna in the purport. So mostly in India, actually Karna is a very popular figure. In fact, he is one of the most charitable people to have existed. And there are scholarships in the name of Karna, or there are charitable institutes in India in the name of Karna. Karna Charitable Institute or Karna Scholarship, like that. So he is very famous for all those activities which he has done. And people unnecessarily glorify Karna sometimes at the cost of ridiculing Lord Krishna and Arjuna. Because Lord Krishna used many different tactics to somehow save his pure devotees, the Pandavas. So sometimes in India, the people read these half stories which have been written by unauthorized people, and they glorify Karna and they actually deride Krishna and Arjuna. So, but if we see translation by Madhavacharya, he has written a translation or his own commentary on Mahabharata. It's called Tatparya Nirnay. And in that he explains very nicely what is the position of Karna. And also there are Puranas, like in the Badrikashram, Badri Narayan Kshetra. Every holy dham has its own Purana. So in the and it's called as the Sthala Purana. So in the Sthala Purana of Badrinath, the story of Karna is mentioned. So it is mentioned that in his previous life, Karna was actually a demon called Durdama. And he was such a ferocious demon. He did lots of tapasya to satisfy Lord Brahma, because he wanted lots of power and he wanted to become invincible. So when Brahma appeared, Brahma asked, okay, what do you want? You've done so much of austerities. So he said, oh, you make me immortal. Like we know Hiranyakashipu and all used to ask Brahma that. And Brahma gave the same reply which he gave to Hiranyakashipu. He said that I myself am not immortal. How can I give you immortality? You ask for some other boon. So then he thought, okay, let me trick Brahma, this Durdama thought. So he said, okay, you give me a benediction that I should have 1,000 kavachas. So Brahma said, okay, I give you 1,000 kavachas. Then he added one more condition. He said that even to smash one of the kavachas of my body, a person must have done tapasya for 100 years non-stop. So Brahma said, okay, I give you that benediction also. Then he added one more condition to that. He He said that whoever breaks my kavacha, whoever smashes my kavacha, he will die. So Brahma gave that benediction also. You know, Brahma is very, was very merciful. So he said, okay, tathastu. And then practically Dudama thought that he has made himself immortal by all these asking, tricking Brahma into asking all these benedictions. And since he got these 1000 kavachas, his name became Sahasra Kavacha. And then what he did, he employed a huge army and he used to start sending out these armies in the Himalayas, because all the sages used to meditate over there and do tapasya and yajnas over there. So he started sending his army, and as soon as the army saw anyone doing tapasya, they would kill that person or they would stop that sacrifice or their tapasya. In that way there were no tapasyas happening, people were not, the sages were not able to do any tapasya, there were no homages happening. He stopped all these activities from happening because he thought that if I don't stop and someone does these tapasya for 100 years, then I will get killed because they will get the power to take remove one of my kavachas. So in this way he practically stopped all tapasyas from happening. And then there were, the demigods were not getting any shares, because usually during these homages there were oblations given for the demigods in the sacrifices, sacrificial fire. So then all the sages, including the demigods, went to Lord Brahma and they told him that what is this benediction you have given to this Sahasra Kavacha? He has practically stopped, there is no piety happening in the world right now because he has stopped all these benedictions from, all these yajnas from happening. So you please do something. And then Brahma took all of them and they went to Nar Narayan Rishi. And we know that Nar Narayan Rishi are none other than Krishna and Arjuna in Dwapar Yuga. So they went to Nar Narayan Rishi. And Nar Narayan Rishi told them that, okay, you all go and we will do something for this. So what Nar Narayan Rishi did was, they came to Badrinath in the Himalayas and they started doing tapasya. Now there is a benediction which this Badrinath Kshetra has, that if you do tapasya for one day over there, it is considered to be equal to a tapasya done for 100 years. So they knew, and you know how Krishna always likes to trick and he knows how to get around all these benedictions which all these demigods give. So Nar and Narayan Rishi, they started taking turns. So first Nar Rishi would sit and do tapasya for one day, and in the meantime Narayan would fight with Sahasra Kavacha. And at the end of the day he would with his bow and arrow smash one of the kavachas of the demon Durdama. And there was a benediction and he had to keep up that benediction. So as soon as one kavacha would be smashed, he would actually die. That was the benediction which Brahma had given. So actually he would die. But what would Narayan at that time do? He would then revive this Nar Rishi who has died through the power of the tapasya he had done. And then Nar would sit down to do tapasya and Narayan would fight with Sahasra Kavacha. So in that day, they kept taking turns. So one would die, the other would revive, the other would die, the first one would revive. Like that they kept taking turns. And they actually smashed 999 kavachas of this Durdama demon. And only one kavacha was left now on this Sahasra Kavacha. And then he realized that now there is no chance of my surviving, because these two combinations are going to remove this last kavacha also from my body. So he started running. And he started running towards Lord Surya. And Nar Narayan Rishi were actually chasing him in full pursuit. So he started running towards Lord Surya and he cried out to Surya Dev, please help me, please help me. And at that time Surya Dev said, okay, you come with me. And then he saw Nar Narayan Rishi were chasing him. So then Surya Dev requested Nar Narayan Rishi. He told them that, you know, let him be in this lifetime with me. I will give him protection because he has surrendered to me. So let him be with this one kavacha and I will protect him. And you all are going to come as Krishna and Arjuna in your next lifetime, in your in the Dwapar Yuga. So at that time you take care of this demon. So this is what Surya Dev requested. And just to give respect to Surya Dev's request, Nar Narayan Rishi refrained from smashing the last kavacha and from killing this Sahasra Kavacha. And then actually it is this Sahasra Kavacha demon or this Durdama demon who then came as Karna in the Dwapar Yuga. So you know, it is so many times glorified that, oh, Karna was born with kavach and kundal. He was born with natural armor which was stuck to his body. And it is so divine to be born like that. But actually that is not a sign of his divinity, but that is a sign of his demoniac birth or his demoniac nature in the previous lifetime. And then as Krishna and Arjuna, they actually got a chance to kill Karna. So the way in which they killed Karna is also very controversial. In India, people deride Krishna for doing that. So it is mentioned that Karna's chariot actually got stuck when he was fighting with Krishna. And Karna got down from the chariot, and the wheel had got sunk into the ground. So Karna got down from the chariot and he was desperately trying to lift his chariot up to try to remove the wheel out. And he told Arjuna that don't fire, shoot arrows at me right now because I'm unarmed. So just wait till I remove this wheel. And Arjuna was actually a rightful warrior. So he actually waited that no, I should not shoot someone when that person is unarmed. But Krishna told Arjuna that no, you shoot him and you kill him at this moment. And Karna heard that and then he started speaking about dharma to Krishna and Arjuna. He said, do you all think is this dharma that you all are trying to kill an unarmed person? And then Krishna really went for, there are 15-20 verses mentioned in the Mahabharata where Krishna actually rebukes Karna. He is saying, who are you to talk about dharma? Where was your dharma when the Pandavas house was being burnt? You were also party to that conspiracy which Duryodhan and Shakuni had done. You were also party to that and you also sanctioned that happening, that you know, okay, let the Pandavas die in a fire which is caused to their house. Where was your dharma when Draupadi was being disrobed? Because Karna always had this grudge against Draupadi because he was not allowed to try to fire that arrow into the eye of the fish. Draupadi's brother stopped saying that no, you are the son of a Shudra, you cannot participate in this competition. So he always had that grudge against Draupadi. So Karna was actually very happy when Draupadi was brought to the court, to the assembly to be disrobed in front of so many generals. And he was actually encouraging. He was saying, you are the wife of five husbands anyway and now your husbands are poor. So you are as good as a prostitute. Why don't you submit yourself to Duryodhan? Like he was very, very insulting to Draupadi's chastity in the court. And Krishna is actually quoting that where was your dharma at that time? And where was your dharma when Abhimanyu was being killed? Abhimanyu was just a 16-year-old boy and seven generals, big Maharathis, and in that there was one of the general was Karna. He said, all of y'all surrounded Abhimanyu and y'all killed him. So where was your dharma at that time? And now you are talking about dharma when it is your turn. When you know, it is mentioned also in the Vedas that whenever a person is in some difficult situation, that time the person will start remembering dharma. But when somebody else is in a difficult situation, they will not remember all these things. So Krishna chastised Karna for all this and then he ordered Arjuna that now you behead him with your bow and arrow. And Arjuna actually did that. He took his bow and arrow and he actually beheaded Karna in that situation. So we see that sometimes, you know, people deride that, oh, how did Krishna do like that? But it is so important that we read proper commentaries to all these scriptures and we read from bona fide people. And we also, it is mentioned that before we read Mahabharata, it is so important to understand the supremacy of the Lord. It is so important to understand that He is the Supreme Lord. He is the creator, maintainer and annihilator of this entire cosmic manifestation. Only then we will not misunderstand the activities of the Lord. Otherwise, if you read Mahabharata, it is very easy to misunderstand the activities of the Lord. And similarly, we see Krishna, like in this situation, He saved Arjuna from Karna. And then in different situations, He again saved the Pandavas. For example, He told Yudhishthir Maharaj to lie to Dronacharya that, you know, your son Ashwatthama is killed and that way Dronacharya will sit in meditation and you can kill him. So in this way, different circumstances Krishna used to actually protect His Pandavas. So actually Krishna could have just sent His Sudarshan Chakra. We think Krishna is not powerful enough. He could have actually just sent His Sudarshan Chakra and He could have killed, destroyed the entire Kaurava army. But why does Krishna do all these pastimes? Krishna does all these pastimes so that devotees like us, you know, conditioned jivas who are trying to perfect their lives, they get attracted and they get complete faith in the Lord or in the protective nature of the Lord. So when we read these pastimes, we see how Krishna personally used to come and personally used to protect His devotees. Our faith, our love and respect for the Lord goes up. And it makes us surrender, it inspires us actually to surrender to the Lord. That is the whole purpose of Krishna performing these pastimes. In fact, Kunti Maharani also mentions that when Krishna performs these pastimes, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti, she mentions in one of her prayers that, my Lord, when you perform all these activities and people are attracted to your activities and then when they sing about your activities, they hear your activities or they narrate your activities or they even do smaranam, they remember your activities, only then can they see your lotus feet. By remembering all these activities. And then when they have seen your lotus feet, it is very easy for them to stop the repetition of birth and death. So Krishna is doing all these activities only for that purpose, because he wants to attract his devotees back to him. By remembering, by chanting, by narrating all these pastimes, we are actually developing our faith in Krishna and we are opening the doors to go back to Godhead. And Krishna reciprocates. When we get inspired like this to surrender to Krishna, to take shelter of Krishna, Krishna then reciprocates in our lives by giving us also protection in difficult situations that we may face in our life. In fact, and it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says, "Ye yatha mam prapadyante." So as the devotee gets inspired by hearing these pastimes, so the devotee keeps on surrendering to the Lord. And based on the devotee's surrender, the Lord reciprocates accordingly with his devotee. And there is a nice pastime which corroborates this quality which Krishna mentions. This was a pastime which happened with Draupadi. So the war was almost over, I think, and Krishna was having a conversation with Draupadi. And at that time Draupadi was having tears in her eyes. And she was remembering again, because that was the most insulting thing. It's the most insulting thing for a woman to be, so much disrespected in an assembly of such great generals. So she was crying out to Krishna. And she was saying that, "My Lord, why didn't you come immediately? You have promised that you protect your devotees. But you somehow did not come in time. It was such a shameful situation for me. And I was so much in anxiety over there and you did not come, my Lord. Why you didn't come?" She was asking Krishna. And then Krishna answers her. Krishna says that you remember that situation. When first you were brought into the assembly, what did you first do? You first looked at your two husbands, Bhima and Arjuna. So Krishna says, "I know you did not look at Yudhishthir, because you know Yudhishthir Maharaj mindset. He is Dharma Putra, so he will first adhere to Dharma. But you had more faith in Bhima's anger and you had more faith in Arjuna's intelligence. So you were looking at them. And what were they doing? They were just looking down, or they were looking at Yudhishthir Maharaj. Because they were, Arjuna and Bhima and all these brothers were actually very dedicated to their elder brother. Unless the elder brother would command, they could not take any action on that day. So he said that you were helpless, you did not get any help from them. Then you try to seek justice when you did not get help from your brothers. So you turn to all the big generals, especially you turn to Bhishma. You said that you thought that he knows Dharma so well and he is one of the Mahajans. So you turn to him and you sought justice from him. But what did he do? He also just put his head down. He was not able to help you. So then you thought, okay, let me turn to a Brahmana. A Brahmana is the head of the Kshatriyas and he will be able to guide all these people from the wrong that they are doing. So you turn to Dronacharya and you requested him that you please protect me, don't allow these things to happen in this assembly. But again even Drona could not help you. And then Dushasan actually started disrobing you. So you held on to your sari and you were calling out to me, but it was superficial at that time. Because you had faith in your own strength till that moment. You thought, "No, I will be able to protect myself. I will hold on to my sari and I will be able to protect myself." So you had faith from inside, you were feeling that, "No, I can manage this situation." But Dushasana has the strength of almost 10,000 elephants and you were like a small sparrow in that assembly. What could you protect? You held your sari in your peace and you still kept holding and you were calling out, but it was not a heartfelt prayer, it was not in full surrender, because somewhere you were trying to use your own prowess to protect yourself. And he said that only when you had full realization that now I cannot protect myself, this Dushasana is definitely going to win over my power, at that time you let go and you raised both your hands and then you started calling out in utter despair, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda, hey Vasudev, come and protect me. Hey Dwarkanath, please come and protect me." And that time I came in the form of a sari. So only when I saw that full surrender from you, that time I gave you full protection. And Krishna quotes, he says, "Ye yatha mam prapadyante." As a devotee surrenders to me, in that way I will protect. So it is mentioned also that, Prabhupada says in many instances that all of us have, because we are practicing devotees, we have faith. When we read all these pastimes especially, they inspire us, they inspire that faith in us that the Lord is the protector. But what happens is, we still have faith in our own prowess also. We have faith in our own intelligence, or we have faith in our own finances, or we have faith in our own relatives. So our cries to the Lord are really half-hearted, because our anchor is also in our own material life. And then the reciprocation we get will also be half-hearted. And as we see the Pandavas, their surrender to the Lord was complete. In fact, during the Mahabharata war, when Duryodhan used to continuously chastise, and he used to continuously taunt Bhishma, because Duryodhan knew that Bhishma had the power to kill the Pandavas, but somehow he was not doing it. So Duryodhan used to taunt Bhishma that because you have this affection for Pandavas, you are not killing them. And he was sort of, you know, lalkarna we say, he was sort of calling upon his kshatriya dharma that you are not capable. Your affection to the Pandavas is coming in the way of you killing them. So at that time then Bhishma takes a vow. He says, okay, tomorrow either I will be alive or these five Pandavas will be alive. And these are the five arrows. He sits down in meditation and he puts all his power in five arrows. And he says that these are the five arrows which I'm going to use to kill all the five Pandavas tomorrow. So I will ensure that they are beheaded or I will not live. That is the vow which Bhishma takes. And Duryodhana was so happy when Bhishma took that vow. And still he did not trust Bhishma. So he said, now you give those arrows to me. I will keep them in my safety. And when all this happened, there were so many, the news started spreading in the Kaurava and the Pandava army that Bhishma has taken this vow that the Pandavas are going to be killed. And Lord Krishna himself used to do rounds as a spy in the night time of the Kaurava army just to get news of what they are planning for the next day, what they are going to do on the next day. Are they devising some new tactics to kill the Pandavas? So during one of his rounds, Krishna came to know that, Bhishma has taken this vow that he is going to kill the Pandavas tomorrow. So he comes running back to Arjuna. And at that time, Arjuna was peacefully sleeping. He was actually snoring nicely. And he wakes Arjuna up and he says that, Arjuna, what is this? You are nicely sleeping and snoring. Do you know that Bhishma has taken this vow to kill all of you all? You don't have any anxiety? He is questioning Arjuna like that because Arjuna was peacefully sleeping after the day's war. And Arjuna told Krishna, he said that, no, I don't have any anxiety because that department I have given to you. When you are there to protect me, my Lord, what is the anxiety I should have in this life? I know you are the protector. So Arjuna was actually manifesting one of the six symptoms of surrender or Sharanagati, which is Rakshayisyati Vishwaso. That one has complete faith that the Lord is the only protector. Not that the Lord will protect me, but He is the only protector and there is nobody else who can protect. So one has this complete faith, and Arjuna was manifesting this symptom of surrender. That I have complete faith, my Lord, that is why I don't have any anxiety. I know you will be doing all these rounds. So Krishna was in anxiety for the Pandavas and he was going in rounds at night to find out what's going to happen. But Arjuna was peacefully sleeping. So the Lord performed all these pastimes just to attract all of us to his pastimes. So that we get attracted, we develop more faith. And when we read about all these pastimes, we develop that staunch devotion to the Lord. That yes, just as the Lord protected his devotees, I must also surrender when I am in difficult situations and the Lord will come to protect me, or the Lord will send his representatives, or he will send his holy name to protect me. And this way the devotees have reciprocations with the Lord when we read all these pastimes. So I will end here and I will ask if there are any questions or comments or corrections.
Thank you very much for the very nice preparation. I wanted to know the story about King Rat when they were in Kaunito, the Pandavas. I did not save the cows. So can you tell me the story?
I don't remember the pastime exactly, but I remember when they were living in the 13th year of their exile, and that was the condition was they have to be incognito. So they had taken up different positions in the kingdom of Virata. And at that time some of the spies of Duryodhan gave the message to Duryodhan that I think these five people who are living incognito in this kingdom are actually the five Pandavas. So then Duryodhan made a plan. Again, I think Karna was also involved in that plan. And Duryodhan made a plan that, okay, we'll go and attack the kingdom of Virata. And let's see how the Pandavas are, you know, protecting the person who has given them shelter. Obviously, the Pandavas will come out to protect King Virata because he has given them shelter. So I think Duryodhan tries to steal all the cows of King Virata. And nobody could do anything. And that time Arjuna had actually taken the disguise, or he was incognito in the form of a eunuch. So we know the pastime that he was cursed by one of the apsaras to become a eunuch, and it actually helped him when he was incognito. So even in that bodily form, like he was in the form of a eunuch, but still he goes and defeats all the Kauravas and he gets the cows back for King Virata. So that is what I remember from that pastime. Anything else?
Just another point on Karna. He had cheated his own Guru Maharaj, Parshuram, from whom he learned all the battle art. He possessed, he said that he was a son of Brahmana, but he took that teaching because Parshuram would only train the Brahmanas. But when Parshuram found out that he was a Kshatriya, then he cursed that you will lose all the knowledge you have learned from me when you will need it the most. So at the time when his and Parshuram also cursed him that your wheel will get stuck when you will be fighting against Arjuna, who we always want to kill. So that was the reason his wheel got stuck, and he went out to get it fixed, and he forgot all the knowledge of fighting. At that time Krishna asked him to Arjuna.
So all this is also actually arranged by the Lord only, if we see, you know, that Karna actually lied. Otherwise Karna was actually very righteous, but he still lied to his Guru just because he wanted to have some knowledge. So all this is also arranged by the Lord only. And you know, it is mentioned that it is not that the Lord was, you know, bent upon killing the demons, or he is bent upon killing all these people. The Lord does not want to usurp anybody's kingdom. Is it that when the Kauravas were killed, the Lord himself sat on that throne? No, the Lord is not. Even, you know, your Narasimha Dev and Prahlad Maharaj's pastime is there. So when Narasimha Dev killed Hiranyakashipu, it is not that he himself sat on the throne and he started ruling. No, he put Prahlad Maharaj. Even as Ram, when Ravana was killed, he actually put Vibhishan on the throne. So the Lord is detached. He doesn't want anybody's kingdom. But he is just performing these pastimes because he wants to reciprocate with his devotees. So even with Karna, he actually, the Lord tried a lot. So many instances he tried. He did not want to kill Karna. It is mentioned that when the Karna's identity was revealed, Lord already knew he is Antaryami, but he actually goes to Karna and he reveals his identity and he says that you are the elder brother of Yudhishthir. And he says that now if you join the Pandava army, do you know what Yudhishthir will do? And Karna had that full faith in Yudhishthir Maharaj. He said, yes, I know he will enthrone me. He will give the whole kingdom to me and he will stand there fanning me with Chamara. But Karna requested Krishna that no, you don't tell Yudhishthir Maharaj, because even if he gives the whole kingdom to me, I will give it to Duryodhana, because I cannot give up my friendship with Duryodhana. So actually the Lord requests him, you join the team this side, you come on the Pandava side, you are one of the Pandavas only. But just for mundane morality, you know that no, Duryodhan saved me, Duryodhan gave me a kingdom, he was the one who actually supported me when nobody else was there to support me. So just for this mundane morality of friendship, actually Karna did not listen to the instructions of the Supreme Lord. So you know, the Lord may be present in front of us, we may be taking darshan of the Lord, but that is not surrender. Surrender means we are listening to the instructions of the Lord, which Karna failed to do, and then the Lord had to resort and the Lord had to kill. Otherwise the Lord was actually ready to pardon and make him the king on the Pandava side. But Karna did not accept that.
And one more thing, that when he was the head of the army of Duryodhana, after which Mahesh was lying on the arrows, he actually was planning to kill all the Pandavas, but Kunti Devi came to him in the night and asked him to be on their side, Pandava side. Then he promised Kunti Devi that I will not kill you will always have five sons.
I will kill one.
Only one. So in the next day he defeated all the other Pandavas, but
he did not kill them.
Yeah, did not kill them. He left them go.
Because he wanted to kill only Arjuna.
Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Anything else? We'll end the class here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.